I wonder, do you think God has a design plan for you? Like, has God sent you into the world for a specific purpose? What do you think? The prophet Jeremiah thought so. At the very beginning of the book of Jeremiah, in the first chapter, verses 4 and 5, he says this, "Before I formed you," this is God speaking, "before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." The apostle Paul also felt a very specific call from God when he came into confrontation with Jesus on the way to Damascus. Jesus himself spoke to Paul in that moment, and Paul felt being the voice of Christ in his life, sending him into the world to do God's will. And that meant, in fact, going the whole way with the Lord. In fact, Jesus himself would say that he came into the world, he was sent into the world by God to do God's holy purpose, and that meant showing the way of God all the way and through to the cross and then through it to new life. But what about you? Jeremiah, Paul, and of course Jesus all felt that God had sent them for a specific purpose. But what about you? Do you feel God has something specific for you to do in your life? And what about just this moment in your life? Not some big thing, but just what about this moment? Do you ever wonder what would happen in your life if you simply said to God, "I'm all yours today. I'm all yours. I completely give myself over to your will for my life. Do with me what you want for today." What do you think would happen? And I don't mean, you know, you're going to get on a plane and go to some faraway place in the world. That might happen. But just what do you think would happen in your life today if you completely gave yourself over to the Lord for one day? Maybe just this afternoon. What about Sunday afternoon, 1 to 5 p.m.? You say, "Today, Lord, I'm going to give you complete and total devotion. I'm all yours, and I'm going to do exactly what you asked me to do." So you make that pledge to God here in church, and you're completely and totally sincere about it. What do you think would happen? You know, sometimes in life we come to these crossroads, and we're not sure in which direction we're to go in life. Do I go here, or do I go there? Sally and I are still wondering about whether we're called to move to Cambridge or stay in Guelph. We're not sure. We sometimes pray about it. You know, if you're in a crossroads situation in your own life, you ask God for direction. "Guide me, God. Give me guidance, your guidance today. What should I do with my life?" You can sometimes even get fixated on this challenge in the moment, what God is calling us to do with our lives. And sometimes, you know, we do get guidance back. Jeremiah got guidance. So did Paul. Jesus got guidance all the time from God. And I think it's true that God is interested in what we do. I think there's lots of Christians and lots of churches that fail to consult God in advance, and they miss out on the wonderful and life-giving direction that God can offer to us in spirit. Sometimes we want God to bless what we've already decided upon. We'll make the decision, then we'll ask God's blessing upon it. That's kind of the typical United Church way, you know. We make our own decisions, and then we go to God at the end and ask for God's blessing. We've decided through our own intellect and knowledge what we're going to do. We're going to use our own sensibilities about what should happen. And then we go at the very end, "Oh yeah, Lord, I need your favor upon this. Bless me in this." Not a great approach, I got to tell you. Not the best approach to take in life. I think we should ask God first what we should be doing with our lives in any moment. As individuals, as congregations, as people of God, I think we should be asking God before we embark on the path what we're to do with ourselves in the moment. Why would we want to give up our chance to partake on divine inspiration and guidance for our lives? It makes no sense when you think about it. So personally, I do believe God has a design plan for my life and for your life. And even though we frustrate this plan God has for us, and even if at times we work against it, God in his infinite wisdom can improvise and get us back on track. It's sort of like a GPS program. Google Maps, for instance, if I miss the turn off, there's Google Maps recalibrating my journey, trying to get me on track back to the goal that I have. A new path, but for an old destination. Same destination, but a new path. And I think God is constantly recalibrating our journey in life, trying to get us back on the right path to the right destination. So what we do matters to God. And because it matters to God, we should be interested in what God has to say about our life. And with all that said, I've come to realize over the years that God is probably more interested in how I do things than what I do. Something we talked about at My Utmost last week in our group that we meet. God is more interested in how I do things than what I do. Now, recognizing that there are times in life where God has a specific turnoff for us, I understand that, I agree with that, and there are times in life where we need to go to the Lord to seek direction about which direction we're to go in when we don't know where to go, but still, I think in the end, God is more interested in how we go than what we do or where we go. You know, a few years ago, my car was drifting to the right when I drove, and if I took up my hand off the wheel, it started going into the ditch. Ever had that moment? Has your car ever behaved like that before? No. Well, you're very fortunate then. My car would inevitably start going towards the curb or the ditch when I would let my hand off the wheel. Of course, in the end, I needed to get my wheels aligned. Because through normal use, and this happens to people, alignment's very common for your vehicles. You might hit a rock on the road, or you might scuff a curb or something like that. And the inevitable things that happen when we drive, something gets put out of joint, in a sense, out of alignment. The angle of the contact of the tires slightly misadjusted. The tire doesn't quite touch the road properly, gets out of sync, and it begins to pull the car to one side or the other, either into the middle or to the curb, into the ditch. And of course, the solution is pretty simple. Go get your tires and wheels and the alignment that it and get it aligned properly, the suspension it sits upon. Get it all aligned. That's what an alignment does. It's what a mechanic does when you take your car in for an alignment. They readjust everything so it's in proper contact. Your tires are in proper contact with the road. And that's a good thing, right? To be in alignment, to have your tires in alignment with the road. It saves wear and tear on your tires and suspension, and it improves your driving safety. It was amazing how long I was prepared to endure the pull. I think I'd be off to the mechanic right away to get it adjusted, but no, I was determined to live with the pull. First, I wasn't even really convinced it was happening, and then I tried to talk myself out of it happening. It's not really happening. You know, it's just the wind pushing me into the side, right, of the highway. It's the wind pushing me to one side all the time. And then I tried to adjust my driving to accommodate the pull, because I don't want to spend the money, especially, and the time to get it worked on. But then there's the obvious tire wear, and there's my mechanic nagging me about the tire wear, and I know there's something bad going on when the car's pulling to one side all the time, and it's actually kind of stressful to drive that way, you know? It's not easy to drive your vehicle that way when it's always pulling you into the ditch or into the center lane. A lot of things in life need to be aligned to work properly. You know, your spine needs to be in alignment to work properly. When our vertebrae gets misaligned through injury or misuse, it causes pain in the body, especially the lower back, the hips, can cause numbness in your hands or your feet, makes movement and activity very, very difficult. Chiropractors spend a lot of time attempting to realign the spinal columns of their patients. How many have ever been to a chiropractor for an adjustment? How many need an alignment today? Yeah. Yeah. And there's probably all your hands should be going up pretty much, I would think. Many of you had a chiropractor do an adjustment at some point in your life on your vertebrae to get that vertebrae back in proper alignment. A lot of spinal misalignment occurs because we don't use our bodies properly. We sit or sleep incorrectly. We walk or move incorrectly. Something is pulling in our body and we become out of alignment. We're being pulled in a certain direction, maybe because of an injury or just simply a carelessness on our part, and we move in a way that's not helpful. I've been seeing a physiotherapist for my left knee. I fell on it 18 months ago. For the first 15 months, I thought it was getting better. Yeah, I think it's getting better, you know? And even when I got the a referral from a close friend of mine who's a massage therapist for a physiotherapist, and I was quite confident in this person, I still delayed making the appointment because I thought it was getting better. There's a certain clicking sound in my knee that I know is not good. It's because my kneecap is slightly out of misaligned slightly. It's because my IT band down the right, the one side of my leg is pulling too tightly. It's pulling me, my kneecap in a certain direction. It's causing me to be out of alignment in my knee, and it's causing me some pain and discomfort, affecting my enjoyment of life. And my therapy is supposed to relax the IT band, allow the kneecap to get back into proper place, so my knee works properly, and I can get about my business in a healthy and happy way. See, alignment's very important in life. My kneecap needs to be aligned with the rest of my knee. My tires need to be in proper alignment so I can drive my car properly. There's a lot of things you need to be in alignment with in life to make life work. For instance, it's important that parents be in alignment with each other when it comes to raising children. If you're out of alignment with your spouse about how to raise children, you're going to have a really difficult time together making it through in the raising of your kids. If you're out of alignment with your spouse on purchasing a house, that can be really challenging. Or any other of the important life goals you have in life. If you can't find alignment in your primary relationships with people, with the people you live with, the people that are part of your family, people you work with, the people that you do important activities with, then your life can become really difficult. And then the economy. You know, there needs to be alignment between demand and supply. Supply and demand need to be in alignment with each other. When they're out of alignment, if something goes out of kilter, it can cause real hardship for people. The market pulls in one direction in a certain way, and it puts real pressure on people's lives, like housing today. There's a real misalignment between supply and demand, and it's escalating prices both in purchasing and renting property. And we've seen a huge change over the last 5 years in our lives. And it's having a really, you know, nasty impact on people's ability to live. The housing market's pulling in one direction, and it puts enormous challenges on people's lives. So being in alignment in life is important. When you're out of alignment in life, whatever it might be, whether it's in your kneecap or in your car, whether it's in your pocketbook, when there's something that's out of alignment, bad things happen. Pressure comes into our life. Is it possible to be out of alignment with God? What do you think? Can you be out of alignment with God? I think so, but what do you think? See, because if there is a design plan made for you by God, if God has a design plan for you, as a human being, you have a design plan that you can be aligned with or aligned against, some basic standard that needs to be considered when you go about your life. If that's true, then it seems to me that you can be out of alignment with God, or in alignment with God, for that matter. And with respect to God's design plan for you, I'm thinking about how things go about in your daily life, just what you're up to in the moment, what things you're about in your day-to-day life. You know, sometimes we come to those crossroads and we seek direction from God, and God's silent for us. We don't get direction from God. It's not because God doesn't care which direction we go in. I think it's more about God being concerned about how we go and the direction we choose to go. God is really interested in shaping how you go about your life in any direction you choose to go in. See, James begins today with these words, submit yourselves then to God. That's what he says, submit yourselves then to God. The key word here in this sentence is hupotasso. It gets translated here as submit, but its deeper meaning is to be in alignment with God. A better translation might be, align yourselves with God today. Be aligned with God. Submit yourselves then to God. Be aligned to God. Hupotasso comes from the word tasso, which means to form up, to draw up, to organize. Tasso was a word used to describe military formations in the ancient world, those organized and drawn up series of ranks of Greek hoplites or a Macedonian phalanx, all the soldiers tightly woven together, all in their proper order, that sense of discipline and orderliness, that sense of self-control, everyone being allowed to play their proper part in the formation, no one freelancing, everyone submitting to be in the proper place in the formation. No improvisation here, please. No freelancing here, please. Hupotasso, intensified tasso, makes it into a command. Be subject to God. Put yourself into alignment with God's will for your life. Be aligned with God's design purpose for your life. James exhorts us today, conduct yourselves in a manner that is in alignment with God's will for you. No freelancing on this one. And James begins today with the what. You know, what does he tell us to do? Align yourself with God and stand against the devil. That's what he says. Align yourself with God and stand against the devil. And then James quickly moves over to the how. How we're to live together. How we're to align ourselves with God. In fact, the whole letter, if you look at the whole letter of James, it's all about how we're to live with each other. It's all about how to live out the gospel of love in our lives. Whatever that might be in the moment, whoever we might be with in the moment, whatever we're up to, the core message of James is about how to do it. How we're to live in the moment. I'm sure there are times in life that God tells us what to do. God wants to guide us in what we do. Our to-do, God often gets frustrated because he tells us what we need to do, and yet we don't do it. That happens in life, but the core gospel message is about how we do what we do. Whatever you're up to today, whatever you decide to do, whatever you're going to do with your day today, how are you going to do it? And the gospel message is really simply this. Stop pursuing life through means other than love. That's the gospel. Stop trying to do what you're doing in life through means other than love. I remember my parents telling me as a kid that there's a right way and a wrong way to do something. You ever get that advice from your folks at all? Anybody tell you that? Is that too simplistic? I don't think so. There really are two options in life about how we do things. There might be an infinite variation about the how, what it looks like. The what might have information, infinite variation. There might be many millions of different things of what we could be doing, but the how, I think there's only two, the right way and the wrong way. With total love or with something less than total love? With that agape sense of extravagant, generous giving in the moment, or with something less than agape? So what is God's plan, design plan for you and me today? I think it's pretty straightforward. It's that we live our lives with each other. We live out our lives and our day-to-day experiences with total and complete love. Whatever we do, whatever we choose to do, whatever we're up to in life, we let the love of God through the Holy Spirit come into us and through us, and we find an expression of love that goes unhindered outward into the world. That's how we're meant to do whatever we're committing ourselves to do. And sometimes we allow a counterfeit love to take the place of God's perfect love in us. That's why James today is honest about being forthright, about being honest about our assessment of ourselves. How are we living out that perfect, total, complete, generous, extravagant love in our day-to-day lives? And he's saying to us, no more self-deception about it. Come on, guys, no more self-deception. Let's put aside all those games of self-delusion that we bring. Let's just confess the truth that we're living our lives without that perfect, total, complete love. And now it's time to get aligned back to God's will for us. Bring yourself back into alignment with God, or allow God to align you. Let God take your spiritual vertebrae and adjust you back into position so that something is now able to move through you. One translation puts it this way: quit dabbling in sin, sin being all the ways that are less than perfect love. Everything that's not God's total perfect love, just quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. That is, align yourself. This is talking about the alignment that we need with God's design plan for us. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the Master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. So no more pretending about loving each other. Let's all seek the real thing, not the devil's counterfeit version. And that shows up in how we treat each other, whether we give each other the time of day. When someone's telling us about their life, we're not thinking about what we're going to make for supper or what we just bought on Amazon. It means giving us, that person, our complete, total, undivided attention. It means treating each other with an ethical responsibility, a concern, a compassion, a truth even. It means about how we interact with each other. It means how we think about each other, how we talk about each other. The how of the gospel of love seems to be the primary interest of James, and he's trying to draw that to our attention as well. The what is important, of course, but it's the how that we live that's important to James. He says, "Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister judges them and speaks against the law and judges it." The law of God, the Torah, which was God's first attempt to show us the way of love. When we sit in judgment on each other in our thoughts, in our words, our actions, we usurp God's role in life and we undermine his way of love for us with each other. James says, when you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. But there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who's able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? See, God has a design plan for you and me. God has made you for a purpose. And I'm sure there are certain specific things God has set for you to do in your life. But it's much more likely today that God is interested in how you're going about your daily life. God is more interested in how you're doing it than what you're doing. Obviously, the two are interlinked. The how and the what are ultimately part of a team. But when you go about your task today, I want to encourage you to stay in the moment and think about how God might be with you in it. We celebrate God being with us. Well, God is with you in what you're doing today. And God is trying to shape you and show you how to go about what you've committed yourself to do, which is love, ultimately. Even the simplest thing, like cutting the grass or washing the dishes, making a meal, ask for God's guidance and how you're to go about it today. Because when you're doing those tasks, those simple tasks in love, and then one of your kids calls you on the phone, or they come to you, or your spouse intercedes, or someone's knocking on your door, or whatever might happen to you in life, if you're doing the how of love, then when the what comes, you're going to be ready for it. And you're going to meet that moment with the full love that God has for you in the moment, that God has to shine through you to that person in the moment. So even doing the little things in life in love matter, because it makes you ready for the big things. And if you focus on the how, the what becomes clearer. And if we stay with God in spirit by seeking out how to love in any moment, then what we are called to do will become to us often self-evident.